of almost victory, of possibilities. His throat bobs.
We take it slow.
He's starting to sound like he'd just finished a sprint. I consider making a CrossFit joke, but my mind's occupied.
We're not having sex. And clothes stay on.
I glance at my dress. Should I put it back on?
Jesus.
He licks his lips, steps closer. His hand lifts to hover somewhere around my waist, but doesn't touch me.
My clothes stay on.
They won't. They can't, logistically. But he seems obsessed with being in control, so I say, suit yourself. I reach around behind my back to unclasp my bra. He stops me and shifts even closer.
Leave that on.
I nod and bend down to roll off my thigh highs.
Leave them on too.
His jaw works.
Please.
Oh. Okay. I clear my throat. My heart is pounding, and he's flushed, and neither of us is doing anything. We're caught, stuck in the transition. Can we, I don't know, can we kiss now? Or is it still too soon? Jack is not clumsy, not ever, but the embrace somehow is. Too hurried, greedy, impatient. The momentum too strong when he presses me against the window. The cold glass bites into my skin, a heady contrast to the unyielding weight of his chest on my front. His mouth is on mine, and I'm overwhelmed, then dizzy, then confused. In my experience, kisses are brief, something to do before moving to other body parts, to the real thing. But Jack won't let this one end. His tongue presses against mine, strokes slowly, coaxes my jaw open. He kisses like he's already inside me. I don't know what to do about that, so the moment stretches endlessly, full and hot, until I cannot help squirming against him. There is a couch nearby, a bed, countless chairs, an air mattress I've heard tales of. We're here, though, the windowsill digging into my hips till he lifts me on top of it. He's still taller, bigger, stronger, but he yields a few inches of advantage and I arch into him, twisting to get closer.
Wait. Wait. Let me.
His fingers close on my wrists and draw my arms around his shoulders. His hand slips between my thighs, lifts one up to make room for his hips, and then we're locked together, finally close enough. I moan into his mouth. He grunts and breaks the kiss.
Is this okay?
He pants. Something hard pushes against my stomach through his jeans.
Is this okay? Do you?
Yes.
Thank fuck.
He sweeps my hair away and holds his nose to the hollow of my throat. Inhales sharply.
You smell out of this world. I've been stuck on it since last summer, but it's gotten better, and—
Bed. We should go to bed.
We're not going to bed.
He nips my cheekbone, then licks the sting off, and we both moan at the feeling.
I'm not going to fuck you. We're just making out, fooling around. This is not—
He hooks his finger into the soft cup of my bra and lowers it. His forehead presses against mine and he looks down to the hard point of my nipple.
Jesus,
he mutters. I can take it off.
No,
he groans softly and thumbs the pebble back and forth, pinches it just this side of too much, making me gasp.
I'm not going to fuck you, but God, I could.
His entire palm rubs against my breast, and my whimper is humiliating. This is going to feel good. Really, really good. It's already much better than anything. Pulling embarrassing, unfortunate noises out of me.
What do I do?
He asks, fitting his fingers in the dips of my ribs. I look up at him, glossy-eyed, already a little dazed. What?
What do you like?
He's looking down at my body like it's a beautiful space oddity, something belonging to a minor goddess, to be investigated in filthy, methodical, obscene ways. His hand traces my flat stomach, skims the place where my thigh highs transition into tender skin, brushes reverently against the pod right above my panties, like this little thing my life depends on is as much a part of me as my navel. JJ asked me to take it off, said he found it off-putting, made bionic woman jokes. And then there's Jack, licking his lips and asking,
"Where do I start?"
I have no clue. He kisses me again, this time slow and gentle, pulling back from that initial brink. He uncovers my other breast, and his fingers are back, playing with my nipple like it's an instrument. Liquid warmth hooks low in my belly.
Trial and error, then.
What do you do with other girls?
Other girls?
Normal girls. He laughs into my collarbone, then starts sucking on it.
Elsie.
I just want to know.
If I weren't me,
what would you do?
No.
Against my sternum. I just... Honesty, you said. He's licking the inside of my breasts like they're luscious sweet fruits. I run my fingers in his hair, bow into him, beg. Please. He hums against my nipple. I wait for him to take it into his mouth, tense as a violin string, and when he doesn't, when he pulls back to stare at me, I nearly groan. I do groan, a soft, miserable whine.
If you were any other woman.
His palms stroke my knees, spreading my legs apart.
If you were anyone but you, I would take you to bed, and I'd fuck you everywhere you let me.
His fingers are like electricity, climbing up my inner thighs, lighting up nerve endings.
I would go down on you, maybe while you're going down on me. And because your tits look like something I'll be dreaming about for decades, I'd ask for permission to come on them. Paint a picture.
He reaches the elastic of my panties. I inhale, sharp.
I'd clean you up and feed you before taking you home, if you wanted me to.
His thumb pushes the wet cotton to the side, slides underneath.
But you wouldn't be you. And afterwards, I wouldn't think of you very much.
He taps against my clit, and I let out a moan. It's knee-buckling, how good this feels. The rush of pleasure climbing down my spine.
This is way too fast,
he says hoarsely. But he's drawing slow circles around me. My pussy throbs in time with my heartbeat, and my nails dig hard into the windowsill. I am grateful for my black panties, which won't show how wet I am, for the low lights. I'm grateful that I can close my eyes, pretend he's not looking at me and seeing every little thing I'm made of.
Elsie, maybe you should ask me to stop.
Don't. Whatever you do, please don't stop. He laughs, breathless.
More? Less? What do you want?
I want everything, and nothing will ever be enough. I'm empty, and I ache, and I'm clenching around nothing, and...
Elsie, what do you...
I don't know, I whine, burning, out of control. I don't know, but please, can you...
Shh, it's okay.
The thumb presses harder, and my head falls back against the window.
I barely know what I want from you, and I've had much longer to think about it.
He's close, licking my neck and my nipples, scraping his teeth around my throat. It makes everything worse and so much better.
I don't know what I'm doing either. Not with you. This is new.
My head is a jumbled mess of pleasure and panic. This is... Oh, God... That's humble of you.
I manage to push out. My hips shift, trying to meet him and get more friction. Jack sees me strain and he does nothing. I hate him. I hate him. I hate him. There's something really humbling about having the face of your brother's girlfriend in your head every time you come.
Another whimper. Mine. I was never his.
I didn't know it. For months, I didn't know. I want to ask him what he thought of when it started. I just say,
I was sure you hated me.
He laughs, a little wistful, and leans in for a kiss against my temple. I did sometimes, for making me hate my brother, just because he was the one who got to eat you out. His hand twists, and something in his grip changes. More points of contact, Jack parting my folds, the heel of his hand pressing against my clit. It's even better, so much better.
Should I put a finger inside you?
A flush spreads up from my chest. My entire body is burning, a blend of embarrassment, heat, pleasure.
I
feel him nod against my cheek.
No, then.
But
historically, penetrative sex has done very little for me. But then so has kissing or touching, and as I sit here, trembling from Jack's hand between my legs, I cannot help thinking that maybe there could be more to that.
Trial and error,
I say, which makes him laugh, a deep rumble in his chest.
You sure?
I nod. And then his middle finger nudges at my opening, tapping gently while his thumb strokes my clit. And I think it's going to be a process. I think my body is going to have to work for it. But I'm wrong. He sinks inside me like a stone in water. Gentle, but not tentative. And it's tight, but the friction is good. He pulls back to hold my eyes, and we stay like that, both vaguely surprised, both not quite daring to breathe. Until he kisses my mouth and hooks his finger inside me. I arch and contract around him. We both jolt.
Fuck,
he breathes out.
Here, huh?
He does it again, hitting a spot that's somehow indecently, massively perfect. My entire body blooms with heat, thrums from the intensity of it.
Oh my God, Jack, you...
He does it some more, and I lose any ability to speak. His kisses deepen, become more aggressive, but I am too lost in the pleasure shooting up to my brain, too uncoordinated to return them in any meaningful way. He realizes it, I think, because he groans in the back of his throat, and his other hand moves between my shoulder blades, and he pulls me into his chest. A soft creature he scooped up from the floor, squirming under him, melting between his fingers, utterly defenseless.
I imagined being with you like this a lot. But Elsie, this is unreal. You are unreal.
His lips trail across my cheek.
When I get inside you, I'm going to lose my fucking mind.
He pants against the shell of my ear like it's too dirty to say out loud, even alone in a dark room.
You are inside me.
You know what I mean.
He bites my lobe. His hand caresses up and down my spine, a soothing touch that's the polar opposite of the slick mess between my legs.
Two.
I swallow. My thighs are starting to tremble and a frightening thought occurs to me. I might come from this. I might actually have an orgasm. I might lose all control and a fair bit of dignity in front of someone else. In front of this someone else.
Elsie, one finger okay, or you want more?
I don't know. No, yes. I shake my head and blindly grab his arm, digging my nails into him.
His biceps is an oak tree, no give to the heavy muscles, and I feel less stranded, anchored.
I want more of this, of Jack. But I'm already full, bursting at the seams. You have really big hands, I say. And I don't say, I like your hands. I love your hands. I watch your hands.
Okay.
He wets his lips against mine. We're drawing a map together of a place neither of us has visited.
Okay, let's stick with one.
I think, I cup his cheek, make sure my eyes are on his. I think we should go to bed. Have sex. Real sex. He laughs, strained.
I think you should let me go on my knees and eat you out until tomorrow morning.
God. God. I shake my head, dizzy, warm, dazzled. Let's just have sex. You can't be enjoying this. I tell him around a moan. I clearly am. Enjoying it.
You sure?
He angles me a little, and there is no mistaking the hot bulge of his cock against my hip. Oh.
Yeah.
I'm not even doing anything. If we went to bed, I could...
You make soft little sounds. You shift your hips when I do. Oh, yes. This. And these tiny spasms around my finger, which make me think of you clenching around my cock. Given how tight you are, it isn't happening anytime soon, but
he closes his eyes and takes a deep, undone breath.
Sorry.
His rhythm on my clit is picking up, and I'm fading fast. All shallow breathing and spotty vision. Sorry?
Just trying to get a grip.
You don't have to get a grip. You can take me upstairs and my channel contracts around him and we both groan.
You sure you don't want two fingers, Elsie?
I let my shoulders fall back against the window. It's wet with my sweat, not cold anymore. We should try. He watches himself this time. He stares at his index finger disappearing inside me alongside the middle, his other hand drawing calming patterns at my waist. I clench and gasp and twist on him, but he doesn't let up, keeps pushing in slowly, and after some resistance, I'm taking him, arching involuntarily to make room, letting out a final little noise of gratitude and disbelief.
Jesus,
Jack says. Fuck. I'm getting used to it. The sense of being crammed with something hot and beautiful. I move experimentally, squeeze around him till we both make sounds that belong to animals.
Good.
I nod. The edges of my vision are blurry. Good. His kisses are gentle pecks, almost chaste. Afterthoughts, punctuations to this lurid, soaking thing we're doing.
So maybe you like to be full,
he says. Voice husky. I nod. Maybe I do.
I will give you anything I have, anything you want, if you let me go down on you right now.
I lie back, enjoy the fullness, and try to decide in the mush that is my brain. I've never done it, I whisper. And Jack must find the situation unacceptable because he drops to his knees in front of me and inhales deeply against the crease of my abdomen. It takes exactly two swipes of his tongue to send me to outer space. One around my opening, where he's stretching me too wide, and I think I'm going to die of embarrassment, of heat, of the liquid pressure that grows with each of his guttural groans. Then he moves up to my clit, and I know that nothing has ever felt like this in my life. That good things come sparingly, that I should try to make this last, but it's over before it starts. My body seizes and snaps and bursts into a bubble of simple, pure physical pleasure that feels too intense to weather alone. My fingers pull Jack's hair too tight, dig in his scalp, and he keeps on eating at me, even when I'm coming down. His fingers stay deep inside as if to give me something to contract around while I ride it out, and it's perfect, this. It's explosive, crashing, nuclear. Somewhere in the universe, antimatter is being produced, and it's all because of this. because of us. I think I'm dying, I say the second I can breathe, completely serious. My heels are digging into his back, and wet noises rise up from where he's still running his tongue over me.
I think I want to do this every day,
he responds, kissing my pussy like he would my mouth.
Every day for the rest of my life.
His words barely register, the glow of pleasure scrambling my mind as he pulls out his fingers and stands to press a soft kiss on my jaw. He murmurs soothing praises and nuzzles the top of my head like he knows how disoriented I feel. I think these are cuddles. They feel as good as the orgasm. Then something occurs to me. I came. He didn't. I think of that moment of tense desperation just before, the fear of being stuck on the verge of pleasure, and I wonder if that's where Jack is at now. If that's how he feels, pulled too tight, too big for his skin. I want to have sex, I tell him, for the millionth time. And it's true, I do. I want to see Jack come, for a whole host of reasons that have little to do with him. I'm utterly, purely selfish.
Against tonight's rules,
he mutters into my shoulder. So you're just going to stop? I shift my thigh and it's still there, his erect cock.
I'm fine with
honesty, I cut in. We're both starting to wield the word like a weapon. What do you want now? Putting aside your rules. I roll my eyes at the last word, which seems to amuse him. My stomach blooms with heat, a physical reaction to his dimple.
I don't have to.
Honesty.
Okay.
He exhales and stares down at my body, considers the possibilities.
I want to come on your stomach.
Oh. I expected, I don't know what.
Not this.
Is it a kink you have? He shakes his head.
Not usually, no. But
he looks past my eyes, uncharacteristically bashful. Honesty, I request.
I never thought of myself as the possessive type. But you were someone else's for a long time. It drove me a bit crazy in my lizard brain.
I nod, thinking of my own vague jealousy. I think you should then, he swallows.
Yeah?
Yeah. I bite back a smile. Make sure your clothes stay on. Rules and all. He gives me a dirty look. For a second, I'm giggling on the high of teasing him. Then there's his belt clinking undone, the catch of a zipper, brushes of fabric as he takes himself out, and the smile dies on my lips. I am looking, and he isn't. He doesn't watch for my reaction, just takes himself in hand, pumping up and down. His cock is hard, long, and thick in a way I didn't think possible. I glance at the way he's stroking himself, then away to the couch, then at him again, and ask, doesn't it get in the way? It's a mortifying question, and I want to air fry myself out of this plane of existence the second it's out of my mouth. But Jack's not listening. His eyes move rapidly all over my body, like I haven't been almost naked in front of him for the past 10 minutes.
You really are the most beautiful thing I've ever seen,
he murmurs. You said you don't care, that you barely notice, that there are lots of beautiful women.
I don't know.
He's usually so confident, but right now he sounds as disoriented as I feel.
With you, I notice.
He nips wet kisses down my jaw.
You think you can come again?
Impossible to tell. I haven't come with another person before, and an improvement rate of 200% seems steep. But maybe? I'd rather be present for this, though. Study him. Know what Jack looks like when he's not fully in control. I think I don't want to. He nods, and what happens next is not really for me. He steps between my thighs and angles the underside of his cock so that it hits my clit. It has us both gasping, but it's about what he wants. As is the way he slots the head against my opening, and the long moment he leaves it there, grunting, a turning point in the multiverse where two futures exist. One in which he pushes in and fucks me, the other in which he follows those inflexible rules of his. Unfortunately, Jack Smith Turner is a stickler. It occurs to me that I could be doing this for him. I could be more than just a warm body and slender arms looped around his neck. Should I? Not tonight. His movements are picking up, knuckles brushing rhythmically against my slit.
I just want to look at you. Know you're here.
He uses my slick to make himself wet. Hard, fast pulls, and after just a handful of seconds, I see the tension in his arms, the muted tremors in his fingers, how close he already is.
Shit, Elsie.
His voice is urgent, a little desperate. His forehead presses against mine.
There were days, these last few months, when you were all I could think about, even if I didn't really want to.
Then a choked,
fuck!
That feels like a rush of breath against my lips, and I know he's there. I think he'll finish with a growl, make a mess out of me, maybe admire his handiwork. But that's not what happens at all. Instead, he pulls back so that his eyes can hold my own till the very last moment, glassy and nearly all black. His free hand searches blindly, frantically. It grabs mine when he finds it, twining our fingers together in a tight grip. And that's when I know, when I realize deep in my belly that for Jack, this is not about friction or about fucking. It's not even about coming or anything else I might have stupidly suspected. This is about him and me, and the possibility of something that goes far beyond the both of us.
Elsie,
he mouths when he comes. He seems to retreat into himself. To dig deep into his head to deal with the shocking pleasure of it and avoid losing his mind. And all I need to do is hold him tight to remind him that, yes, I'm here with him. I'm here. It's downright terrifying what this could be, what I want it to be. It makes me tear up, and then it makes me sob, and then it makes me clutch at Jack for dear life. The splotch of his semen sticking to his shirt and my stomach, pooling in my belly button. To his credit, he doesn't ask me what's wrong. He doesn't beg for explanations. He just holds me close, both arms wrapped around me, even when my tears morph into giggles, like I'm some crazy, unstable girl who doesn't know what to be or what to feel. Wait, that's exactly who I am. I laugh. Then I laugh some more. Then I cannot stop. The movie is over. 15 Step by Radiohead bafflingly plays during the black and white end credits, and I'm laughing again.
You're ruining the moment.
His lips curve into my throat, winded like he just finished an Olympic race. I'm so sorry. I just...
What?
Just wondering if you still think it's too soon. He slaps my butt. I yelp and then keep on laughing.
Yes.
He maneuvers back and angles my head so that I'm looking at him.
It's really soon. But the only person who can slow us down is you. So?
So what? He pushes a strand of sweaty hair behind my ear. His eyes are worried and warm and empty of everything that's not us.
Be gentle with me, Elsie. That's all I ask.
20. Falling Bodies. From Sandra Schuberton at gmail.com. Re: Thermodynamics Essay. Dr. Hannaway, ma'am, it's been 23 hours. Have you graded my essay yet? Saturday's a daze. I shuffle around my room gingerly, full of distant stares and hands stopping mid-action, like, I cannot remember what I opened my closet for, how to squeeze the tube to get the right amount of toothpaste. It's a first. I sense that some paradigmatic shift had happened within me, but I cannot justify it. Jack and I did a bunch of things that high schoolers today would barely consider a quarter of first base. So what? I tried to cognitively reframe last night as two adults having casual fun. But my head is full of aggressive, intrusive, embarrassing thoughts that make it hard to concentrate on grading. As though the sheer nature of grading didn't do it on its own. When did you get back last night? Cece asks when I emerge in the kitchen. As usual, she's engaged in a mix of activities. Teaching Hedgie an obstacle course. Listening to an audiobook on the women of the Plantagenets. Making oatmeal. I try to recall what the clock in Jack's car looked like when he dropped me off. The red numbers blinking at me in the dark, as if to say, you should go. And Jack leaning over the armrest for a kiss, then pulling me into his lap, whispering, not yet. Round 1. A record. We watched a movie, I tell her, to avoid saying, I think I had the most soul-shaking night of my entire adult life, and it didn't even involve cheese. What movie? A vampire movie. Oh my god. Nosferatu. Eine Symphonie des Grauens? Yeah. Lucky you, she sighs. Did you make out before or after Count Orlok awakens? We didn't. She points at my neck, and I turn to catch my reflection in the microwave. Damn it. During. She nods knowingly. It's a horny movie, isn't it? I remind my brothers that if they go to jail for killing each other, their future lives will contain very little Dana and very copious amounts of toilet wine. In response, I get called a bitch. Lucas. Ordered to get a fucking life. Lance. And told unceremoniously, Mom. They did agree to not run over the other if they meet at the farmer's market, so there's that. Glad to see you're doing your part for the family, Elsie, she says. I think I'm forgiven, because I did what I was told. There should be relief in that, but while Mom goes on about the Comic Sans inspirational quote my aunt posted on Facebook that may or may not be shade, I picture practicing honesty. Mom, stop. This is messed up. I don't do it, though. I often meet with Dr. L on Saturdays, and I've been dying to discuss George's offer with him, but he's out of town. Instead, I have lunch with Cece, a quinoa bowl. I snap a picture and send it to Greg, who replies with 7 face-palming emojis in a row, and then spend the afternoon at the science fair, manning the UMass Physics Club stand alone because none of the students who were supposed to help showed up. I freeze my ass off, wonder if I should be worried about the group of kids who keep begging me to teach them how to build a catapult. Then imagine doing this next year, all over again. Then I imagine making my life about what I want. When I get a text from Jack, my brain stops working. Jack.
Greg invited us to dinner. Want to go? We can stay in if you prefer.
He talks like his Saturday nights belong to me, even though this thing with us only just started and my heart skips too many beats. Elsie. I'm at UMass doing unspeakable things till late, but I could join when I'm done. Jack.
Perfect.
I think of the word honesty a lot before adding, Elsie, I'd like to spend the night afterwards. The reply takes a long time to come, and I find myself picturing answers.
It's too fast. Let's get back on track. Take it slow.
But something has shifted. Maybe on the windowsill. Maybe when he nipped my chin after buttoning up my coat. Maybe in the parking lot, the moment he grabbed my hand and pulled me back into the car, telling me that I couldn't leave without telling him the ending of the movie.
Do they go to college? Does Edward ever see a dermatologist? Who wins the Golden Onion?
His reply takes a long time to come,
but I'm not surprised when it does. Jack.
Good.
By the time Greg opens the door, I've worked myself up to a state of panic. I thought coming empty-handed would be rude, I blurt out. So I grabbed this, because it was cheap, but not the cheapest. I hand him the bottle of red wine like it's a hot potato. I didn't notice the name until I got on the bus, and Greg looks down at the label, which proclaims Ménage à Trois in a sexy, flirtatious font. He snorts out a laugh. I swear this is not a proposition.
Noted.
He hugs me, at once new and comfortingly familiar.
I'll put this orgy invite in the fridge and go finish the food. Make yourself comfortable.
I claw out of my anxiety pit, take off my coat, then make to follow him into the kitchen when... Jack. For no reason whatsoever, my heart jolts and I cannot breathe. Maybe there's something wrong with my cardiopulmonary health. Is my entire body joining my pancreas and crapping out? Does nothing inside me work anymore? But really, it's not important. I don't care. Jack doesn't care. He stands just a few feet from the entrance, arms crossed, chestnut eyes full of warmth and amusement as he murmurs,
"Looks like you and Uncle Paul have something in common after all."
It's a misunderstanding. His mouth twitches.
"When you said you wanted to spend the night, I didn't think you meant here."
I groan, covering my eyes with my hand. And when I feel Jack's heat, I know he has drifted closer, and I let myself sink into him.
"Hey,"
he says, lips against my temple. And suddenly everything feels a bit more right in the world. I want to kiss him, desperately. Just as desperately as I don't want his brother to walk in on us kissing in his living room. So I pull back and open my mouth to say the first thing I can think of. Then immediately close it. Am I going insane? Is my brain leaking out from my ears? I can't say that. I'm not batshit.
Honesty,
he chides gently. Crap. I swallow. Buck up. Take a deep breath. I missed you. I rub my forehead. God, I'm such a weirdo. He nods slowly, as though mulling it over. Then offers,
I went to campus today to get work done. Instead, I kept wondering how buck wild it would be if I asked you to move in.
I let out a surprised laugh. You're a weirdo too.
Yeah.
Have you ever?
Nope. Total first.
What's wrong with us? His eyes hold mine, unyielding.
I think we both know what.
I laugh again. What?
Come on, Elsie. You know where we're going here.
I take a step back, nearly bumping into a fully assembled hutch. Panic bubbles as I track this conversation. I think I know what he's referring to, but it's not possible. It might feel like that, but it's too fast. No, I say, and then turn away, dry-mouthed, because he's giving me the look again, the one he reserves for when we both know I'm lying. I'm afraid he'll be his usual merciless self, but he just nods, pushes a strand of hair behind my ear, and tells me,
"It'll come to you."
His touch lingers briefly, then his hand drops to his side just as Greg calls to tell us that dinner is ready.
I'm a very mediocre cook, he warns me.
And it's not a lie. But his mediocre food pairs perfectly with my mediocre wine, and even better with stories of his and Jack's mediocre childhoods. Teenage Greg apparently used to update every Facebook status with emo song lyrics. Jack had a skater phase and a man bun phase, not overlapping. They once collaborated on a homemade mafia thriller titled The Godson, which Greg promises to show me. In exchange, I make them laugh with my weirdest fake girlfriending stories, like the guy who had me learn sea shanties in preparation for our date, or the one who was afraid of wallpaper. This is easy, I tell Jack when Greg gets a late-night work call.
He's washing the dishes, I dry.
What is?
Just, I stare at his soapy fingers. This, the three of us. I thought it'd be weird, but it's not.
Why do you think that is?
He asks, with the tone of someone who already has the answer. I don't, though. It eludes me, even as Greg unearths the godson for its first showing in 2 decades. After we hug him goodnight, I doze off inside the car. And once we're home, I hang my coat on my hook. Is it messed up that I've started to think in those terms? If being somewhere 3 times were a sign of ownership, Cece and I would be the barons of Trader Joe's cheese aisle. But my pea coat always finds itself in the same spot, between a lightweight black jacket and the lanyard with Jack's MIT Physics Institute badge. The budding domesticity makes reaching for possessive pronouns that much easier.
Want a hot chocolate?
He asks. He ventures deep inside the apartment, turning on just one light. His face is full of shadows, and I'm a little lost in them. No.
Anything else?
I shake my head and stifle a yawn. It's past 2, and all I want is a pillow. But I think we're about to have sex. That's what spending the night means, right? I should check Urban Dictionary.
Let's go upstairs, then.
In his room, he hands me an extra large hoodie and herds me toward the bathroom. I change into it because I'm too tired to wonder why. Because it's kind of comfy. And because maybe it fits into a kink of his. He did like lingerie. Sportswear might be the next logical step. Or tentacle dildos. I use his mouthwash, scrub my face clean, then pad back into his room, hair up in a messy knot, the thick cotton hitting my thighs almost to my knees. I brush past Jack and his amused look and throw myself on my side of the bed. More unwarranted possessive pronouns, and sneak in a 20-second micro-nap. Or maybe it's more like 10 minutes, because when I next wake up, Jack blocks the nightlight seeping in from the hallway. He smells like shower and toothpaste, and he's wearing plaid pajama bottoms and a Toy Story t-shirt. Cute, I say, closing my eyes again. Did you notice Woody and Buzz's homoerotic undertones?
I thought they were very overt.
Validating. Thank you.
We're about to have...
I yawn.
Sex, right?
The mattress dips.
Sure.
Under the down blanket, strong hands pull me closer. Long legs tangle with mine. And we've done this before. It's comforting. Familiar. The word mine pops into my sleepy head again, and I let it float about longer than I should.
Okay. Good.
I can't stop yawning, but I force my lids open. I'm on the depot shot. I get it from Planned Parenthood. Otherwise, I couldn't afford it.
Planned Parenthood's good people.
Yeah. I shift closer. He's hard against my stomach, but... nothing about him broadcasts impatience. We don't have to, like, use a condom. Unless you have pubic lice. His cheek curves against mine.
I doubt condoms protect from pubic lice, sweetheart.
I doze off into a pillow that smells like shampoo and a hint of sweat and Jack's MIT office, thinking about the logistics of little critters jumping from one crotch to another, only to jolt awake mid-fading. Don't let me fall asleep, I yawn into his neck. We're supposed to be doing it.
We are. We're going at it like animals. Just close your eyes.
I do. It's easier. Is this another rule of yours? Are you into BDSM?
I do have a thing for consent. And my partner's being awake.
I picture legions of beautiful, intelligent, curvy partners with advanced degrees. What happened to the geologist?
Who?
She was your date the day I met you. Very nice. On the short side. Dark hair. I forgot her name.
Madeline. She's currently in Europe for her sabbatical. Spain, I believe.
He
He pushes a strand of hair behind my ear. She's cool. You two would get along. I'm marginally more awake. Have you been with lots of women? The sound purrs through my skin and bones. I don't know. How do you not know? I have no idea what the parameters of lots are. Between 100 and 312. He slaps me gently on the ass. I chuckle and melt into him. I'm not sure either.
Then we'll never know.
But you do this a lot.
I haven't in a while.
Since when?
I think you know.
Oh. You like sex, I say. Not a question.
I do.
He pauses.
But I'll also go months without thinking about it if I'm busy working on a grant or an experiment.
Like your current sets of failed experiments? He laughs softly, pressing a kiss on my hair.
I've thought more about sex in the last 6 months than ever before.
I hope you'll like it. I burrow further into him. With me.
I will.
You can't know.
I can.
He rubs a hand up and down my back like I'm a fussy pet in need of soothing. Maybe I am. Sexual compatibility is a thing. What if we're not?
Then we'll work on it.
I don't want to be work. I don't want you to feel that I'm work. He sighs.
Somewhere along the way, your wires got crossed. Your brain decided that you're not worth people's time and effort. And that if you ask for anything, they won't just say no. They'll also leave you.
He says it matter-of-factly, like he's Archimedes of Syracuse repeating his findings about upward buoyant forces to the Acropolis for the 10th time.
That's not how love works, Elsie. But don't worry for now. I'll show you.
But I...
Go to sleep.
What? Why? No! I try to move up, but his arms cage me tighter. We should be having all the sex.
In a minute. For now, just close your eyes and be silent for 20 seconds.
Why?
It's a kink I have.
You perv. Yawn. What happened to anal play and bondage?
We'll get there. Are your eyes closed?
I nod into his chest.
Perfect. Now count to 20 in your head.
His breath is a soft, steady rhythm under my ear. I'm warm and safe. And I get only to 13 before I'm lost to the world. 21. Complex harmonic motion. My first thought is, I'm going to buy him curtains. My second, I'm going to do without cheese, insulin, and possibly toilet paper for the next 6 months. To save up, to buy him curtains. Blackout, rod pocketed, floor to ceiling. It's unacceptable. Falling asleep that late and then waking up at what, 7:30? 8? 9? Just because some guy doesn't know that shades exist? Seems like a pretty simple concept to...
I'll get you a sleep mask.
I open my eyes and I think, blue. Which, less than 1/8 of his eyes is blue. It makes no sense. How do you know what I was...
Your frown woke me up,
he says, voice rough with sleep. He shifts in a stretching yawn and it's like a seismic event, a huge tectonic fault shifting under the crust of the earth. Because during the night, I ended up face down on top of Jack. How? I ask.
You moved around a lot,
he says.
Felt like the easiest way to keep you from kicking my shins.
Wait, when did you...
About 5 minutes after you fell asleep.
Wow. I should move away. But he makes for a good bed, firm and bulky and warm. I'm groggy with sleep that was either not enough or too intense and don't want to leave just yet. For once, I feel myself, my body. Jack's hand is on my lower back under the hoodie. My feet are wrapped around his shins. His mouth is several inches away, but also accessible, and I reach for it. I aim for a simple peck, suspecting a mess of rotten, eggy morning breath, but there's none of that. He tastes like himself,
familiar, and deepens the kiss into something gentle, slow, deliciously lazy. Time doesn't exist. This bed is the expanse of the universe. We're still dreaming, tucked safely inside our heads. There is no urgency in him, no pressure point, just the unhurried rhythm of his tongue against mine, leisurely patterns traced against my skin. His heartbeat speeds up but remains steady. His breathing grows shallow, but I know it only from the rise and fall of his chest against mine. It's a good way to wake up. I want to wake up exactly like this again and again and again. I want to feel the blinding sun rays wash over us and this new brightness inside me, fragile and scalding hot all at once. Maybe that's why there are no curtains. In the light, it's easy to feel brave. All those things I'm scared of seem conquerable, and honesty is almost effortless. Jack, I pull back, balancing on my palms, one on each side of his head. My hair has come undone and drapes around us like a shrine.
Elsie.
His palms come up to hold my face. I'm not scared. I'm just not. I lied. His mouth quirks sleepily.
Which time?
I glare. I hate you.
Sure.
His thumbs swipe gently over my cheeks, lovingly, because that's what this is about.
What's this lie you speak of?
I said I didn't know, but I do.
Know what?
I swallow. Where this is going. Where we're headed. The two of us. Something thickens between us, dense and weighty. I know. He knows. We've acknowledged it. It's almost a sign, the universe's permission to move forward. Jack's eyes are warm and probing, and he says,
"Come here."
I don't remember taking off my bra last night, but I must have, because when he tosses my hoodie to the floor, my too pale skin is bare in the blinding light. I don't even want to ask him to look away. Jack sees me, and it's okay.
"Come here,"
he repeats, and his mouth's on mine, insistent, breakless this time. Like he's kissing me for now, for all the times he couldn't before, for later, too. Whatever it was that held him back yesterday, 2 nights ago, the past 2 weeks, it melts in the morning sun. "You," a voice suggests. "All those Elsies that aren't really you are what stood between him and this." I'm out of breath when he sits up to take his shirt off, and this is actually new. He's almost as undressed as I am. We're equals, and when he tries to pull me down to him, I shake my head and begin to inspect him. I sit astride his hips, riding him as though he were a mellow, compliant beast instead of the most dangerous thing in my life. I used to, back before my interview, I used to try to picture them. I trace the inside of his elbow. Your tattoos. He will stay where he is, but he can't help touching me. His hand comes up to my rib cage, thumbs stroking the outside of my breast.
"How did you know I had tattoos?"
I swallow. "I could see the end of one."
"Ah."
His thumb moves to my nipple, feathery light. I arch into the touch.
"What did you think they were?"
"Barbed wire? A Bon Jovi quote? Elon Musk's face?"
"Jesus."
I laugh, but I'm not breathing easily. "Sorry." His tattoos are beautiful. The Dirac equation, the electron cloud, beta decay, the Fibonacci spiral, kinematic models, astral planes, Drake's formula, the molecular structure of MBBA, black strokes of faded ink interlocked together in a beautiful painting. The entire foundation of modern physics is on his broad shoulder, wrapped around his large biceps. I trace every line of it, every curve and every corner, and he lets me explore. Vibrating with restraint, but he does. I've never been so selfish before, never taken up so much time for something that is only mine, and I think he knows. I think that's why he allows it. Remember how it was? I ask, learning them for the first time. The Schrödinger equation, the standard model. He nods, his throat bobs. He's hard under my core, patiently impatient.
Knowing that the universe can be made sense of.
Made of patterns, rules that can be learned, discovered, predicted.
Find them out and you'll know how to make the world into what you want,
he says. Find them out and you'll know how to make yourself into what the world wants, I say in return. We regard each other for a moment. My hands are on him, and his hands are on me, and I'm thinking of 2, 5, 10-year-old Jack alone in the world, calling someone mom, being told not to, the only fair-haired Smith. I'm thinking of a young boy determined to shape his surroundings. He chose his own world in the end, didn't he? Greg, Millicent, his friends. He carved a place for himself. And I'm certain he's thinking of me. All the Elsies I've created to fit all the worlds I've inhabited, all the people in them. He's stripping them off me one by one like he has since the day we met. We're not so different, you and I think, and then hear myself exhaling hard. I've been holding my breath without realizing it. I know where we're going, I say again. Feeling the certainty of it deep within my bones, like Dirac, like relativity, the strong interaction between quarks and gluons, and he takes it like what it is, permission to take charge, to roll us over, pin me underneath him. He takes my panties off, slides them under his pillow, hoarding like a dragon.
You could be my entire world,
he whispers in my ear before moving to my collarbone.
If you let me.
I stroke his hair. I think I will.
Then I'm sorry.
What are you, what are you sorry for? He's making room for himself between my legs, spreading them open, touching me there purposefully, exploringly, urgently, like he's looking for answers. Do I want this? Am I ready? Am I wet enough? Yes. Yes. Oh, I don't know.
Because I'm never going to let you go.
I moan. His erection brushes against my stomach and I reach down for him. I want to feel him too. I want to touch him. But the second my hand closes around him through his pants, he seems to stutter. His expression blanks and then he inhales sharply. He is hard. He's really hard.
Stop,
he orders, choked. I obey, but say, honesty? I'd like to keep going. He's not sure whether to believe me, but he lets me push us on our sides, and when I slide my fingers past his waistband, he's still, motionless, but for the movement in his throat. You don't like this? I ask.
I do,
he rasps. You seem...
It's new for me, too.
I laugh softly. Hand jobs?
Being with someone that I...
He doesn't finish. My fingers wrap around him and his eyes drop shut. He seems to fall backward into himself.
Fuck.
I pump up and down, but it's weird, clumsy with his pants on. He's too distracted by my touch, and I have to tug at the waistband several times before he understands that I want him to pull them down. Can you tell me? How do you like this? I ask, adjusting my grip. I need two hands. Yes, it'll be better with two hands. Still an awkward position, but also intimate, how close we are. Nice. I smell him deep in my nostrils, and he's good. So good.
I like it too much, Elsie.
No, I shake my head against his chest. Tell me how you do this when you're alone.
This is, fuck, it's good. Just slow for now. Steady. And if you, the head, yes. Yes, there.
What else? I hear him swallow.
Your voice.
What?
Just speak.
I'm not. Laughter bubbles out of me. I don't think I can do dirty talk.
You can go with pneumatics. You can count to 10. I don't care. Just,
I could talk about George's offer. How I've been seriously considering. If I accepted, we'd be working together. I'd be at MIT with you next year. I'd earn a livable amount of money, so maybe we could go to lunch together sometimes. I'd buy. He makes a deep, guttural sound. His hand moves down between our bodies, and I think he's about to shoo me away, but his head dips forward and his fingers tighten around his balls, then fist around mine.
I want to fuck you,
he says into my hair.
Please let me fuck you.
I simply nod. It's beautiful having him on top of me. He's so wide and heavy. I'd have expected feeling constrained, unpleasantly held down, but there's none of that. I wrap my arms around his neck, tip my chin up to kiss him, let him press me into the mattress and deliciously contain me. And then, when his stomach slides across mine, I get a stab of panic. Wait! He stops instantly, looks down at me, watchful. If it's not good, we're going to work on it, right? He laughs against my lips.
It's already the best sex I've ever had.
But if...
Yeah.
He eases my legs open, or maybe they spread all on their own. His cock pushes against my abdomen first, and then slides down the wet mess of my folds, slots against my entrance.
We will.
It suddenly seems improbable that this is going to work. He's much bigger than JJ, and even though I was aware of this before, at some abstract theoretical level, the practical implications are now glaringly obvious. This is a physical impossibility. That, or it's going to hurt like hell. And this is the part of sex I've always liked the least. Someone pushing inside me and me struggling to adjust, to keep up, to accept. I imagine it will be the same, and for a split second, I wonder if I could bear it, not liking this, with Jack. It's new, worrying about my own enjoyment. I'm contemplating it, vaguely dumbfounded, when something changes. Jack presses into me. The head of his cock slides inside, just 1 or 2 inches. My body contracts around him in a small spasm. I let out a choked cry, and he slurs something that sounds like fuck against my cheek. I arch into him as air rushes out of my lungs, trying to get closer, trying to chase that feeling. This is nice. Really, really nice. Unprecedentedly nice. Maybe I'm just wet enough. Maybe I'm more relaxed than ever. But he's not even halfway inside, and I'm fluttering around him, the tingling of an orgasm already deep inside my belly.
Holy fuck,
Jack rasps and helps me go after whatever this is. His hand slips between us, thumb pressing against my clit, and I tighten even more around him, a reedy whimper coming out of my throat, mixing with his loud groan. My head whites out. I'm confused, dizzy. I don't think I came, but this is good in a way I cannot even begin to parse. This feels right. And my body knows, because it welcomes Jack inside like I'm where he belongs. So maybe you like to be full. Yes, yes, it appears that I do like to be full. Is it all in? He shakes his head. I consider laughing in his face, telling him that he's lying. But he's in no shape to do so. His eyes are glassy. The arm he's propped himself up on is shaking on the side of my head, like the effort to pace himself is somewhere above the realm of what's human. You're big. He nods, like he knows and it doesn't matter. My nipples are hard pebbles against the expanse of his chest, and the contact is exquisite. I could come just from this, rubbing myself against him. I let out a reedy laugh. Is this what sex feels like for normal people? I ask, moving my hips, circling, tipping back and forth just to see where this could end up going. The possibilities are tantalizing.
No one has felt like this in all of history, he tells me, voice deep and shaky. And then he's kissing me hard, his tongue licking inside my mouth. And after a few seconds of that, I'm softer. I'm open. I'm lost. And it takes only two upward thrusts, one forceful and the other almost accidental. Then I'm taking him right to the hilt, feeling his sack flush against me, and it feels like something dreamt, something meant to be.
Fuck,
he murmurs again, but I barely hear him. I focus on my own body, the way it's stretched full. I feel Jack in the bones of my skull, in the tips of my toes, and everywhere in between. I thrum, flutter gently around him, and even though I've never been this close to anyone else, it's still not enough. He must know because he gathers me off the mattress in his arms. I am completely, utterly surrounded by him, by the perfect tension of this moment, and Jack begins to push in and out of me, in and out, delicious rhythm and drawn-out friction. I cannot take it. It's too brilliantly, stupidly good. My head lolls back against his pillow, and his lips find my jaw, nip my chin, bite my neck.
I'm going to fuck you everywhere, Elsie.
He licks the hollow of my throat.
Between today and the day we die, I'm going to fuck you everywhere.
I nod, let him know that he can. There is a tight liquid pool blooming inside my stomach. Twitches of pleasure making their way down my limbs, surging up my spine. I reach for Jack again, pull him to me for the kisses I want, but it doesn't work. We're too raw, too new at this, too desperate to catch every drop of this. Our lips press together, then they pause, forgotten by both of us.
Can you come like this?
He asks, his breath a hot wash against my ear. I'm drifting away. I'll never hear his voice and not think of this, of the deep, rough bite of it sinking inside my brain, of the whispered yes and this way and perfect and...
Elsie.
His body trembles around mine, on the verge of tipping over.
Can you come this way?
I don't know. I...